This hour of the Jason Rant Show brought to you by MMComfortSystems.com. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
Now that kids are up for the COVID appointments for the vaccine, the 5-plus-year-olds can now go ahead and sign up for a COVID vaccine. It turns out the unintended consequence of this is that they're now competing with older people and the immunocompromised folks who need to get those appointments for their boosters. Are you going to do this every day now?
I guess.
Seriously.
I know.
Do you know I'm doing a radio show here, right?
You don't want that noise in
the
background?
No, I don't. You want to know why? Because it's distracting. And then if I don't address it, people at home are going to be all like, well, is he on tape and what am I supposed to do?
No, I get that.
Yeah?
I hear you.
Could you vow right now to never do that again?
No,
like you
I'm
did
not
three
that...
times this week?
I know.
And last week?
Wait, three times last
yes!
week and three times
yes!
this week?
Yes!
No. Pull it in the podcast then. Find this
you,
in the podcast.
You know what? How about this? You go pull it up, but not on that computer, because Dum Dum can't stop it from going off over the air.
Yeah, this one's
so
hooked
up. Why don't you go use that one?
But then I can't be ready to go in case if you want to go on to your next topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? You're not really useful to me right now when you're pushing all these buttons that end up going on air.
All right.
Thank you.
I won't push that button again.
And what are you eating in there?
It's a hamburger.
Yeah.
What? What's wrong with a hamburger?
I can't there's
have
bread on it.
I can't have a hamburger
no,
on there now?
No, there's bread, and you know I'm doing a juice cleanse.
You're so punchy. It's Friday. You get punchy. You go back to your story.
Okay, turn off your mic. Only thing worse than a chirp in the background is Peyton's voice. Don't turn on your mic while you eat. I don't want to hear you chew. In any case, the people who actually need to go ahead and get their appointments for the boosters are the folks. Undoubtedly, this is true that most people who are over the age of 65 or have serious immunocompromised systems, they would benefit most likely from a vaccine and booster. They should talk to their doctor, of course. That doesn't seem all that controversial to say that the older folks who need a little bit of extra protection because COVID does, in fact, hurt them the most, they should be getting these appointments. However, now they will be competing with kids who are the least likely to need a vaccine due to COVID because they are the least likely to get sick or die from COVID. Unless, of course, they have serious underlying health conditions. Do you remember when the vaccines initially were rolled out? We had different tiers of people who could get them. The tier was different depending on what state you are. Here, it was like phase 1A-3 exclamation point, question mark, poop emoji. And under those, the first people to get it were who? The senior citizens. This was after the initial rollout just from the healthcare workers. But it was seniors. Why did we do that? Because they were the most at risk of death due to COVID. And why else? Because we had limited supply. Now, we don't have a limited supply right now of the vaccine in any traditional sense, but we do have a limited amount of appointments. And so why in the world did they not think this out? Why did they not think this through? They did not think that parents were going to rush to get their kids into some of these appointments. King 5, granted, they're the worst, and this is clearly not a scientific explanation or a scientific look at what it is they were doing. They just went to a bunch of websites from CVS because they're offering their appointments and you can schedule it online. I think actually that's the only way you can do it. So they looked at the upcoming schedule and they found them to be completely booked. Now, they don't exactly know, of course, how many kids are there, but they know that there's increased demand at this point. And certainly they could have looked last week because I looked just out of curiosity. There were plenty of open appointments, So the thinking is there might be some right now that are filled with kids. Obviously, the closer you get to an appointment day, they generally start to close up. Now, the question becomes, how much is this impacting the folks who actually should get the vaccine according to the data? The answer is, I don't know specifically in Seattle. But I think it's reasonable to say that if someone right now, right this moment, who is 68 years old, 7 months past their actual vaccine, the first time they got it, and they have diabetes and they're recovering from cancer, the kind of person who is especially susceptible to death due to COVID, if they went right now onto the website to try to get an appointment, they wouldn't be able to get it. That seems wrong to me, that we are going to treat kids equally to the folks who actually need the vaccine. I cannot be the only one who is calling this out. It seems just ludicrous. But on top of that, guess what else they're dealing with? Any ideas? What would they be dealing with as it relates to people putting shots in arms? Say staffing, but don't hit the button on the computer so it goes on air.
Staffing.
Exactly.
I nailed that.
Staffing.
I'm so good.
Why might they have a staffing problem at a pharmacy? Are they subject to, a certain vaccine mandate?
Yes.
Okay. Lots of folks within the pharmacy community or industry, they left or were fired as a result of the vaccine mandate. I know we're not supposed to talk about that. We're not supposed to talk really about any healthcare provider who's making that decision to not get vaccinated. Governor Jay Inslee gets mad when we talk about it, but that's the truth. And as a result, not only are you dealing with a lack of appointments due to competition, but now older people and immunocompromised folks are dealing with a lack of staff that will be able to handle the situation. So in other words, it's just a big cluster. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Crime.
I found this story in the Bellevue Reporter to be amusing, only in that it was a little bit of a surprise, a bad surprise. I actually got upset when I saw this story. It's simply titled, Man Dubbed the Sweatpants Robber, Arrested by Bellevue Police.
We're still doing that? We're naming robbers based on things?
I guess we are. I mean, it makes more sense to do that now in a world of social media than it did beforehand.
In like the 1890s when everybody was...
Okay, not the 1890s, but okay.
Yeah, bandits and stuff. They had all their...
The 1890s.
Yeah, yeah, back when the cowboys roamed.
Okay. Hey, dummy. It was dinosaurs that were around in 1890.
Okay.
Why don't you open up a science book and a physics book and you would have figured that out.
Okay.
Stupid.
You're punchy.
God.
Go back
to
your story.
Well, you're just so dumb.
I know that. We've been dealing with that for my entire 2 years of existence on this station.
That was a time when the world was flat. That was before we put helium in the middle of it.
I guess you would know. You were born then.
You want to see how punchy I'm going to get? Wait and see. So the Bellevue Reporter says a 58-year-old man suspected in 8 robberies and 1 attempted robbery was arrested after an extensive investigation. They arrested Antonio Aaron, who's been dubbed the Sweatpants Robber, in what has to be the worst nickname ever because it makes it sound like he's stealing sweatpants. And if that's what he was doing, number one, I must meet this person. I find myself drawn to this person. You are stealing sweatpants. Really? What kind of sweatpants? The kind that are super baggy and don't really fit people properly? The slobby ones that mostly older men wear and 24-year-olds or 25-year-old new homeowners? Are we talking about that? Or are we talking about like the nice joggers?
Probably the ones that say juicy across the bum.
Is that what he would be doing?
Maybe.
Would he be stealing? A 58-year-old would be stealing that? No! It turns out he just wore sweatpants and slippers during the robberies, mostly because he's a 58-year-old who retired early, is my assumption, and just didn't feel like getting dressed in the morning. But he was robbing banks.
Allegedly. In sweatpants and slippers?
Which is weird, but not as interesting to me, at least, as robbing stores of sweatpants.
I think that's
interesting.
There's
a story there. The sweatpants stuff, there's a story there. And why would you call it the sweatpants robber?
Because he's wearing sweatpants.
But he's not. Here's the deal. So remember when we had the barefoot bandit? You know why we didn't think he was stealing bare feet? Because no one steals bare feet. And that would be weird. Where is he, severed feet somewhere? No, we understood that. We connected with it instantly. In this case, it should not be called that. He's the bank robber in slippers. How about that?
Have you ever thought about...
The casual thief. Kind of like that. The comfortable thief.
Sure, I like...
I've given up on life. I'm not going to find another partner. I'm too old at this point, so I've just give up. Thief. I like that.
Have you thought about, you know, he wants to dress for the job that he wants? It's one of those sort of situations.
What's the job that he wants where you would wear sweatpants and slippers? A gym coach, I guess.
Unemployed.
That's not a job.
That's a job.
I mean, you do get paid better for it now because of Joe Biden, so I, you know, okay.
He's dressing for the job that he wants. while doing a side gig.
Well, they caught him, and now he's in jail on $200,000 bail.
Does he get to keep the slippers in jail?
Could he use the money he might have stolen from the bank?
For bail?
For bail. Is that... because he's not found guilty yet.
Yeah, if you steal enough, you can probably post your own bail.
Sir, where did you get this money? This looks like it was stolen. No, this was not the stolen money. If I did commit that crime, I would not be stupid enough to pay with those bills because I know you're able to track the serial numbers. This is other money that was not stolen from a bank. It was stolen from somewhere else. It wasn't stolen from a bank. And you have to let me out. And
this guy's my hero.
He would have been a hero. I'm serious. I would want to interview him if he stole just truckloads of sweatpants. Because in my head, he's getting the really, like, poorly fitted kind. He's not getting the high-end stuff.
Again, like Nike dry fit.
No.
They got word for the expensive Nike ones.
Yeah, just say the ones you can't afford.
Yeah, I know. They're the ones I can't afford.
Because you keep screwing up and pushing buttons that make noises go over the air. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to send me a text and also remind me not only of Peyton's incompetence, but that one time he decided to wear gel in front of me. Yeah. Find out what else is trending.
What's trending at the movies?
It's Friday. You know what that means? It means I get to talk movies. And a movie release for this weekend that I actually got a chance to see is both on Amazon Prime, streaming for Prime members, and in select theaters. Benedict Cumberbatch stars in The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne, a quirky, irresponsible, cat-obsessed illustrator, as it follows his life, his loves, and ultimately, it ends up following his decline.
I don't fully understand your theory about cats preferring to face north.
Yes, well, cats will always prefer to face and walk north, especially on a warm winter. Notice their whiskers act as antennae attracted to the positive poles of the earth.
My goodness.
Tabby's markings are defined by the electricity of their feline heritage. This particular animal might have had a great grandmother or some such that was actually struck by lightning. So defined are the markings by the jaggedy lines.
Fascinating.
Electricity from the head right down the body to the tail.
So roughly the first half of that movie centers around his courtship with a woman hired to be a governess of his household. He was tasked effectively with caring for his sisters and his mother after his father passed away. This wasn't something he was particularly enthusiastic about doing. And the second half of the film, it takes a turn in mood. It focuses on his mental decline after a pair of tragedies. And this is really where the film hits home for a lot of folks, really bringing on the waterworks. It's sad. He deals with crippling anxieties and depression on top of cat hallucinations. And it ends up becoming a film that feels whimsical at times, but then kind of trippy and then very dark. So it's a movie that can be both charming but also disturbing in a way. I think this film's strengths rest with this outstanding performance by Benedict Cumberbatch. He embodies Wayne's uneven personality so well, and uneven is a word that I know a lot of critics are using on this film. But that's who the character was. He was supposed to be uneven. Wayne was a genius who had a lot of flaws and obviously dealt with a lot of tragedies. And the approach that Cumberbatch delivers to this performance and this particular character is done with such sincerity and with a genuine touch. And I thought that it worked really, really well. The Electrical Life of Louis Wayne, I do still think works, ultimately, it works better when it sticks to that whimsy and when it dives into that gloom and sorrow. It just does feel a little bit mismatched, like it's two different films, like some scenes don't quite fit into the overall movie. Almost like the director didn't want to commit to one particular direction. However, the performance from Cumberbatch and the narration by Olivia Colman throughout the film, I do think it makes it worth a stream on Amazon Prime. So I do recommend it, even if you're a dog person. What movie are you going to see this weekend? Let me know. Send me a text, 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Aaron Rodgers got COVID after saying he was vaccinated, only we found out it wasn't a breakthrough case, which he should have just said it was a breakthrough case, but we found out he was not, in fact, vaccinated to begin with. I don't care about his vaccination status, period. I suppose I would be maybe slightly upset if I was on the team where he's no longer able to participate in this upcoming game. And that, what did we say? He's back in 10 days, but was there a bye week in between there?
No, he's missing okay. this
so
game this
He's missing
Sunday.
Two games.
Yeah. Well, he's missing
well, one.
One
game for sure.
Back.
Yeah, okay.
He's due back next Saturday. They play the following Sunday.
Okay. And they don't have to be fit the same way everybody else does. So
he's all, the best quarterback in the league. He can do whatever he wants.
Let's all relax a little bit about all the people who are upset with him. How dare you, Aaron Rodgers? But now they're attacking him because he talked about what had happened in an interview on the Pat McAfee show or McAfee show.
McAfee.
I don't care. And
you should.
I don't. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he streams. I know that there was cussing in this clip. That's all I know. So I'm assuming it's satellite, right? Or a podcast.
I think it's an internet
podcast. I don't care.
You sound like you care.
I really don't. How many followers does he have?
More than you.
You son of a... They're now attacking him, folks on the left, because he said he was in contact with Joe Rogan about his treatment. I guess he's on ivermectin at some point he was taking or maybe currently taking. Again, don't really care. But he made some interesting comments that should be seen as kind of reasonable, and yet people are dunking on him.
The conversation is going to be, you know, that, you know, I'm a, you know, non-vaxxed person, and, you know, then the non-vaxxed people, the right or whatever, is going to champion me, and the left is going to cancel me, and I'm...
No, no, Aaron!
And the whole time, I don't give a about either of them.
And by the way, kudos to him for saying that. There are some who will just lean into the direction of support, and I'm sure he's appreciative of the people who support him, but he's all like, hey, folks on the left, I am not one of you, leave me alone. Hey, folks on the right, I probably vote like one of you, but you don't need to own my story either. Just kind of leave me out. Let me be me. We don't have to politicize this. And by the way, he is right. We don't have to politicize every individual who chooses or chooses not to get vaccinated unless it shows some kind of rampant hypocrisy. If someone's out there saying it is wrong to get vaccinated, you better not do it. It's going to kill you the second you put it into your body. And then we find out that person is vaccinated. Yes, we will call that person out. If someone just said, yeah, I'm vaccinated, so you would stop asking him and leave him alone, I'm not going to get upset.
Politics is a total sham. I'm not going to go on Fox News like I wouldn't go on CNN.
I'm going on Fox.
I have zero desire to do any of that. The only desire I have is to empower people out there to take autonomy over their body in all forms and facets. And that you have the right to make a decision about your body. That should be an unalienable right for all people to make an educated decision.
By the way, but instead of that being a right, housing is a human right. Whatever kind of house you want, by the way. Internet is a human right. Your comfort and feelings not being hurt, human right.
Based on what they think is best for them, their body, their family, their family's bodies, on and on and on. If you have fear around the virus, and you want to get vaccinated, go for it. If you have comorbidities, go for it.
And yet, people can't be okay with his position. Bob Costas, formerly someone who was important, no longer is, especially because during the Olympics, he had that thing with his eye.
No matter how anti-facts, anti-science, anti-common sense some of the anti-vaxxers are, people like Carson Wentz and Cole Beasley and Kirk Cousins in the NFL, or more in a more celebrated, if that's the right word, certainly the more focused upon case of Kyrie Irving in the NBA, say whatever else you want. They've all owned it. They've all come out and said, this is what I believe. This is what I'm doing. Aaron Rodgers was disingenuous about it. And I think his reputation, he's one of the greatest players of all time. That's obvious. But his reputation is going to take a hit out of this. He may get some support, but on balance, his reputation is going to be hurt.
No, it won't. See, it won't. It won't.
Yeah, this isn't going to keep him out of the Hall of Fame. Not even close.
He's going to get no consequence of this beyond a bunch of tweets he will never see. And an interview with Bob Costas that no one will listen to. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. I would love it if you would follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants, twitter.com/JasonRants. The liberal media, some Democrats who are in positions of authority, are pretending to be upset with this anti-Biden rallying cry, "Let's go, Brandon," which of all, we'll call this a meme. I don't know really what the real world example of this is.
The trend?
Let's just go with the real world meme because okay. it's become a meme.
Say IRL because that's more hip.
IRL, yeah, yeah, IRL. LOL, I like what you just did. PTW, stop jumping in and let me just do my show. So this, of course, came. There was a NASCAR driver who had just won some race. I don't know. They drove around in circles. And he was doing an interview with a reporter from NBC Sports. And during the interview, the crowd started to chant in unison, and it was almost everyone, "Let's go, Brandon." Oh, no, sorry. That's what it became. They actually said what it stands for, which is F Joe Biden, except it's all put out. But the reporter was pretending that they were saying, "Let's go, Brandon," because she was interviewing the guy whose name is Brandon. That's how it became. This is easily, I think, the best legitimate organic meme of my lifetime. Because this was totally organic, how this came about. It just caught on. And I find it so amusing. But folks on the left are pretending that this goes too far. Oh my gosh. Do you understand what that stands for? Can you believe that Ron DeSantis just said it at a press conference? Oh my gosh. The Washington Post had a story titled "Biden's Critics Hurl Increasingly Vulgar Taunts." And it said, yeah, we know that presidents always get hit with some sort of abuse. The language is not always G or PG rated. But then writes, "The current eruption of anti-Biden signs and chants, however, is on another level. Far more vulgar and widespread." I certainly believe that it's more widespread than anything that Trump had to endure. When you went to a stadium filled with fans in any sport, you did not get really anything that was anti-Trump. And yet here, tens of thousands of people are chanting this in unison. So I agree, it's more widespread. More vulgar? No, it's not. No, it's not. How do I know that? Because I was alive for the last 4 years. I was aware of what was going on in this country in pop cultural positions, in stadiums, in plays, in concerts. And I thought Rich Lowry, who's at the Boston Herald with a column, he said it perfectly. He said, "The new progressive rule is expletive you for me, but not for thee." And it's almost like people forgot when Robert De Niro at the Oscars said this.
"I'm going to say one thing. F*** Trump."
Wow, that's cheers and applause. I didn't hear. Did you hear any gasps of like, oh my gosh, did he just say that about the president? Look, I get you don't like Trump, but this is the office of the presidency and we don't do things like that here. None of that. I didn't hear any of that.
That wasn't condemned by the media and they weren't outraged by it?
No.
Weird.
No. So weird. I don't remember anyone calling him out again when he was on CNN.
"As I think some of these other pundits on Fox are too, because I can't believe that they would actually buy into this craziness. Mm. This guy should not be president, period."
And when you say that, folks on Fox come after you. I remember the Tonys when he got up there and cursed. A lot of some of you. Okay, well, you know, this is cable, so it's not an FCC violation.
Sorry.
But it is still a Sunday morning.
Well,
I do wonder why you choose to go that
let
way.
Let me say something.
Why do you choose to go that
way? We are at a moment in our life, in this country, where this guy is like a gangster. He's come along and he's said things, done things we say over and over again. This is terrible.
So it was cool. Oh, at that point, because Robert De Niro said a lot was on the line. You know, we were pretending that this country was falling into a tyranny or something. It's so weird how the tyranny just fell. The tyrant, the guy who wanted to be king. It's so weird. In fact, I remember him on Inauguration Day leaving early. He left the White House early. He wasn't pulled out by police or Secret Service or any military members. He left early, hopped on a helicopter, and left. Gone. Done. He wants to create a monarchy. Uh-huh. Remember the whole Macklemore thing about Donald Trump?
I got an eagle on my arm. I'm a patriot. I'ma stay right here. I ain't living in fear. With my people that are Muslims, Mexican, queer. Cause we ain't gonna let you f*** up 4 years. Ain't gonna let you f*** up 4 years. Donald Trump. Say what, sir? We'll f*** Donald Trump.
That's so weird. I don't remember any long piece in the Washington Post about this. I mean, maybe I missed it. Like I missed it when they talked about Robert De Niro or Snoop Dogg, who shot an image of Donald Trump. Huh. It's odd. You see, they're mad right now, or pretending to be, because they think it gives them some sort of moral high ground. It's very weird that the left is doing this in the media. It's very weird to me. I honestly, I don't understand quite why they think we're dumb enough to fall for this. You called President Trump the worst words you can think of, and you did it every day, repeatedly. Every day. But you're telling us a lighthearted way to censor a vulgar message is worse than the actual vulgar message itself, and worse than the vulgar messages you put out for 4 years. 4 years. They get mad in pretend land, not merely because they are playing some kind of high and mighty, holier-than-thou hero, but because they are at least upset that not everyone is supporting their guy. You see, they like Joe Biden. They want Joe Biden to do well. And they will do anything, they will say anything, even if it's hypocritical, even if it's transparent as day hypocritical, in order to defend this man. And it's not going to work. What could work and change the direction of the Democratic Party is to actually pay close attention to this last election that literally just happened, in which the party and the extremism was rebuked very, very clearly. Very clearly. Most honest people on the left who are giving their good faith assessment of what happened are saying just that. They got too woke. They got way too woke. We knew it was going to happen. We knew they were going to go a little bit too far, and they did. Folks like James Carville just yesterday pointed out via PBS.
What went wrong with this stupid wokeness? All right, don't just look at Virginia and New Jersey. Look at Long Island. Look at Buffalo. Look at Minneapolis. Even look at Seattle, Washington. I mean, just defund the police lunacy to take Abraham Lincoln's name off of schools. I mean, that. People see that, and it's just really have a suppressive effect all across the country. The Democrats, some of these people need to go to a woke detox center or something.
He's 100% correct. But what is the party doing as a whole? They are completely ignoring it. And as I said, they are going to continue to be held hostage by the progressives. I can't remember what show I said that on. Was it this show or was it on TV? I honestly don't remember when I said that.
Oh, you do so much media.
I mean, it's true. I don't remember when I said it, but I said it, that the progressives will continue to hold this party hostage, even if the Democratic Party wanted to course correct. They're not really going to be able to, and today was a perfect example. The bill that was the Build Back Better plan that was supposed to be voted on today for the 12th time now was again delayed. Because progressives said, nope, we want everything that you originally promised or nothing at all. Okay, they got nothing at all. And in a year from now, they're not going to have any majorities either. It's the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rant Show. We're in the middle of a bit of a competition in this building. We're trying to see which show, starting this month, can get the most podcast subscribers. And while they haven't said it directly, I think my boss might be all like, we're going to give the winner a nice little bonus. And we're going to do it by station, too. So what I need you guys to do is subscribe to my podcast. Text the keyword podcast to 1-800-465-8770. And what I'll do is I'll send you a direct link to my show as well as Todd's show. Become a subscriber. Hit that subscribe button. Get one of your friends or family members' phones. Secretly subscribe them and give them the gift of entertaining, informative, conservative talk with a side of snark. Text the keyword podcast, 1-800-465-8770. Obviously, you know that I enjoy traveling. I have not been able to travel all that much as a result of the pandemic, not out of fear, but because everything was closed and I didn't want to have to deal with a whole bunch of different mandates. But obviously, as things began to open up, it shifted considerably for me. And so I did a lot of traveling within just the last few months. And we say a lot, it's all domestic. I didn't go that far. The furthest I went was Orlando for CPAC. And then, of course, I went to Dallas for their event. And it was a lot of fun, the Turning Point USA. It was a lot of fun. I was just in Phoenix. Great time. So now I'm getting excited because I'm going on vacation in, what, 13 days from now, November 17th. I'm headed to London, where there are no restrictions whatsoever. The plane ride, there's still restrictions. You still have to wear a mask, which is going to be annoying for 9 or 10 hours, but I'll be in sleep. I'll just pull the covers over my head and take off my mask. And really, in that case, that's a big mask over my entire head. In any case, I'm excited about going. And so anytime that producer Peyton finds any story that has to do with travel, he will always flag it for me. But he has a tendency to be really cruel and pick stories that he knows will just anger me, either because it impacts me negatively as someone who flies, and most likely would impact you negatively, or it'll just annoy me because of the virtue signal. And boy, do we have one giant virtue signal coming from Alaska Airlines. They just put out a press release that's made an announcement on how they're changing their in-flight water service. It's getting a planet-friendly upgrade, they say. Now, as someone who actually pays attention to some of the issues surrounding the environment, I consider myself very much an environmentalist, not a fringe progressive environmentalist, because they only really care about the environment so much as they can destroy capitalism and then install socialism. That's not what I'm about. I'm actually about maintaining an environment, making sure that where we live is healthy. And we can do it, of course, without destroying business. I'm even an advisor, an evergreen advisor for the American Conservation Coalition. This is a conservative environmentalist group, and I'm proud to be a part of that. So when I saw this story and I said, oh, a planet-friendly upgrade on water service, what could that mean? As of right now, they are now getting rid of their plastic water bottles and instead using boxed water from the specific company. Boxed water is better, their brand. It's just water in a container, like almost like milk. It's smaller, obviously. They're not giving you a full thing. It is still a flight. So you now get a 92% plant-based carton filled with water instead of the plastic cups. The paper cups, obviously, the boxed water is recyclable. So that's obviously going to cut down on the consumption of plastic. Now, they say this change will save an estimated 1.8 million pounds of single-use plastics from flights alone just over the next year. And they say that's the equivalent to the weight of 18 Boeing 737s. Okay. And they do this, and most people will say either it's not that big of a deal, kudos to them, they're cutting down and saving the environment, plastic is evil, blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is, plastic is not as evil as people think. Or, to put it better, paper is not as good as people think in relationship to the plastic. To be clear about this, you could make an argument that one is slightly better than the other. But at the end of the day, when you look at it more all-encompassing, it's not as simple. Because we know that plastic, for example, stays plastic. It doesn't degrade for a very long time. So when you put it into a landfill, it stays there for a very, very, very long time. Paper obviously does not. Paper also can be recycled easier. Now, people pretend that plastic can't be recycled. It absolutely can. But when you think about the way that you actually create these products, the carbon footprint of a plastic cup is smaller than the carbon footprint of a paper cup. Let's be clear, the plastic cup consumes less energy during the production process than the paper cup does. People don't realize that. People don't realize that at all. When you're manufacturing plastic cups, it requires 17% less energy than you would use for a paper cup. It used about 42% less water than the paper products. And it used 22% less petroleum in order to gather the materials and then transport the plastic cups versus the paper cups. On top of that, you can make plastic cups from recycled materials. You can already do that. Again, people want to pretend, even with the plastic bags, well, you can't actually recycle those. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. They sometimes get stuck in machines because of how thin they are. Now, of course, you can actually come up with better technology to handle the plastic, but instead, they're trying to just ban the thin plastic bags altogether. And so a lot of times, they just throw that stuff away. They don't actually recycle it, but they could. Now, the reason I bring this up is because Alaska Airlines is trying to virtue signal. My assumption is they got a better deal from Box Water, the company, than they did from whatever company they were using for the plastic water bottles. At the end of the day, this is probably not going to cost them a lot more. In fact, it'll probably save them a lot more. But at the end of the day, they're still creating a larger carbon footprint in this way. And so should this be something that's celebrated? Should this be something that's given the kudos that they are so desperate for? Could you make the argument that if you go even deeper into this process, it's maybe a little bit more even? Sure, I guess. You can probably do that for anything. And at the end of the day, do I care that they're going from plastic to paper? No, I don't care. The only thing I care about from the paper product realm is when you give us the paper straws, the cardboard straw, whatever. It's the worst. It gets soggy. It doesn't do the job. It stays firm for maybe 3.5 minutes. And then it's just a mess. If everyone truly cared, if these companies truly cared about creating products that are better for the environment, they would spend a little bit more time creating better products. Instead, they're giving us inferior products, but we're supposed to give into it and say, oh, well, that's okay, because at least it's helping the environment. Well, when it's not truly helping the environment in any meaningful way, in any measurable way, then guess what? It's not actually all that important to us. And when they say, hey, you know, we're getting these paper cups that are recyclable. Yes, but when you recycle those paper cups and create them into new ones, you're using even more energy than before. So I actually think this is bad for the environment, given the amount of paper that they're going to go through. But I guess they're doing something, and they definitely want that press release to tell you that they are eco heroes. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one eco hero, and his name is Jason Rantz. Yes. Shut up, Peyton. 1-800-465-8... He gave me a look. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Right now, we got another 2 hours of the show coming up. Okay. I'm going to give you a breather for the next few moments. And then we're back with more right here on KTTH.